Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We will do our best to assess the craziness that has become the college football offseason with our next guest, Mike Craven, joining us on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Of course, he is a senior writer at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. They do an outstanding job, and they are sending the preview magazine for the upcoming season to press coming up later this week. So it's right around the corner. Those preview magazines are starting to get out. And of course, we appreciate you being here on Heartland College Sports, whether it's on the radio, on the podcast, or on the YouTube channel. We would just love for you to make sure that you are subscribed. So Mike, you have a unique perspective here because obviously at Dave Campbell's, you're covering the high school landscape and the college landscape in Texas, where you've got SEC, of course, you've got Big 12, you've got kind of conflicting angles in what has been a wild couple of weeks in the college football world. How do you assess what we've seen with the SEC, the alleged power play, and how some of these other conferences are trying to push back?
Yeah, I mean, your opinion depends on which seat you have. When you stop by College Station, when you stop by Texas, you hear one thing. And then if you're at Tech or Houston, TCU, you're at the other. And it's an even bigger split there. I mean, we cover all 49 college football programs in the state. So if you're talking to Mary Harden's head coach of what they need, or UTEP's head coach of what they need, or TCU's head coach, you're going to get three different answers. I think the overwhelming opinion, at least in this state, is like, when is it enough? Right? Like when is the SEC and the Big Ten, like, when do they have enough power? When do they have enough resources? And I just think everybody's worried about where it's going to go and where Texas Tech fits in, where Baylor fits in, where UTSA fits in. And it just seems like we're headed towards a seismic shift, and it's a game of musical chairs. And there's a lot of programs in the state and in the country that just don't know where they're going to land when the music stops.
We know that Texas will be okay. Obviously, we know A&M will be okay. Is the sense from those programs that they completely have the SEC's back? Are they kind of leading this rah-rah SEC takeover of college football? Or is even there some understanding within those programs that maybe this isn't the best way forward?
Yeah, I think it depends on if you're talking to coaches or if you're talking to administrators. You know, I think like the athletic directors and the presidents, they're more worried about the bottom line and keeping their program in the money and what the balance sheets are going to look like. But, if you know, Steve Sarkisian played quarterback at BYU. Mike Elko was an Ivy Leaguer. And so, like, they come from places that would get left out in these scenarios. And I don't think the coaches want it. I think the coaches think about the greater good. They have friends that coach at different programs. And so while, you know, nobody's going to shed any tears for Steve Sarkisian or Mike Elko, and they're in the captain's chair and they're going to be at programs that are in, I think they understand that college football is bigger than just the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten, and they would like to keep it that way.
I mean, you look at the Big 12 schools down there, of course, TCU has played for a national championship and had, you know, a decade and a half sustainability back to Gary Patterson. Texas Tech is dumping a ton of money right now into NIL under Joe McGuire. They're making a big play in the 2025 college football season. Houston has been there before, hopefully bouncing things back on the right track now going forward starting this fall. But you have Big 12 programs down there that are not Texas, they're not A&M, but they've had sustained national success at different levels. So what is your take on where those three programs in particular are at on this and how this impacts the future of college football?
Yeah, so when we do the magazine, every April, I go around and I stop at each one of these colleges. And I sit down with the head coaches and talk to them for an hour and some of the coordinators and some of the players. And what struck me was a lot of the things that are happening behind the scenes are to position themselves in the ability to be in the halves table, right? Like, I think for a long time, everybody assumed the split was going to be P4 and G5, right? You go to North Texas, you go to UTSA, and those coaches are worried about getting left behind. And they're having the conversations of, should we have our own playoff? What do we do with the transfer portal? Like, there's existential crises there. But I'm always surprised that, like, they have those same conversations at Texas Tech. And that's why they're putting so much money into their facilities. That's why Cody Campbell has been so upfront and out in the public on his opinions. Because when this split comes in 2030, 2031, whenever that's going to be, they are worried that they are going to get left behind, that not only are the UTSAs and Texas States not going to be, you know, in the Super League playoff, but maybe the Texas Techs and the Baylors won't as well. Maybe TCU won't as well. You know, Houston moved up to be in that discussion. SMU moved up to be in that discussion. And so it's just fascinating to me that there's a lot of uncertainty and there's not a ton of understanding of where this thing is going to go. And they're just trying to, you know, be in a spot where they're putting in enough resources, they're winning enough games, they're getting enough eyes on their social media and on their TV markets to where when this thing splits up and wherever it goes next, that they're seen as desirable products.
Of those Big 12 teams that we talked about there, and you mentioned TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and Houston, who's best positioned to not be in a situation where they're left behind come 2030 or whenever this whole thing breaks?
I would have told you TCU for the longest amount of time just because they're in DFW and they do have a strong donor base and that television market in the Metroplex is very important. But I think it's Texas Tech, and it's just because they have the boosters that'll pay the money to play, right? It's like going to a casino in Las Vegas. Like, if you have the money, you can sit at a table that maybe you wouldn't be invited to otherwise. You know, Cody Campbell's a former offensive lineman there. John Sellers played there as well. And those two guys have a bunch of money. You know, they sold their company for something like $3.5 billion, and they're okay with spending it all on the football program and making Texas Tech a blue blood program. They point to Oregon. They point to Clemson. And when I was growing up, those schools weren't national championship contenders. Now they are. They want to be in that, and I think Texas Tech has positioned themselves. They sell out their stadium. People care out in West Texas. They have a huge block of a fan base, and now they have the money and the support to kind of back that up. So I think Texas Tech sees the writing on the wall, and I think that's a credit to Cody Campbell and some of those donors there, and they're pushing their chips in the table to where you can't leave them behind. You can't deny them if they're playing in the college football playoff every year.
So how much pressure do you think is on Joey McGuire then going into this season based on what they did in the offseason with the NIL spending?
Yeah, I think if Texas Tech isn't in Arlington playing for the Big 12 championship game, Joey McGuire is probably on the hottest seat in the state going into 2026. Like, Cody Campbell, John Sellers, like, they're in lockstep with McGuire. I think they all see this future as the same. They believe Joey McGuire is going to be the guy. But at the end of the day, guys like that aren't successful just throwing money against the wall and not having it come back to them, right? Like, they want to see a return on their investment, and that's going to the college football playoff. That's going to the Big 12 championship game. You saw what TCU did, as you mentioned, but even more than that, I think SMU has been a big pusher for Lubbock, right? Like, they saw SMU put funds, they have billionaires as well, obviously, put funds into their roster, get good right away, go to the ACC championship, get to the college football playoff. They think that they can do the same thing. I think it's important to remember, though, that Texas Tech hasn't won a conference championship since 1976, right? Like, they're trying to make the floor, like, they're trying to not only raise the floor, but raise the ceiling. And so that's a lot of pressure on McGuire to do things that even Mike Leach didn't do, to do things that Spike Dykes didn't do. But they also didn't have the resources and the ability to build a roster in this kind of way. So the excuses are gone. I think Texas Tech clearly has the most expensive roster in the Big 12. They have a quarterback back that they really like. So I think it's Big 12 championship game or bust in Texas Tech. And I think that they would say the same thing.
How valuable has it been with Joey McGuire's ties as, of course, a former high school coach there in Texas? You know, we look at the Matt Wells experiment and it flamed out. He wasn't a fit culturally, socially for West Texas. Joey McGuire seems to have that, but is that overstated in an NIL world where you really can just go out there and buy players, or is there still value in that?
I think it's a great question. You know, they were really high on Jeff Traylor when they went into that hiring process, and Traylor was right in the middle of an undefeated season at UTSA, didn't feel like he could, you know, leave in the middle of the year. And so they went and found a guy with similar chops, right? Another state championship coach in high school. But I do think the game's changed since they hired him. You know, college football has changed more in the last 5 years than it probably had in the previous 30 or 40. And that's been especially true the last couple. When he first got there, they were very high on recruiting high school guys and being that place in the state of Texas that took the three stars and turned them into, you know, blue chip prospects. But if you look at what they've done this last offseason, it's clearly changed from that. Like, they have gone in the transfer portal. Some of those guys they're bringing back to the state of Texas, but they haven't cared too much where they come from. They're just trying to put the roster together as best as they can. So I do think you're right. With the NIL, with the transfer portal, I think those relationships matter less, but they still matter because you're going to do your homework and call that high school coach and see why a Howard Sampson is leaving North Carolina. So I do think it matters, but maybe not as much as it did when he was first hired.
So you mentioned, of course, and we look at these teams in the Big 12 in the state of Texas. You said something I saw recently. I think it was on a podcast. It's something that I have said as well the last couple of months. TCU is the dark horse in this conference we are not talking enough about. I don't think they should be a dark horse, but no one's really talking about them as potentially winning this league. I think they'll have the best offense in the Big 12 this year. My question is on the defensive side. What do you think could hold back TCU from being a competitor in the Big 12 this year?
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
I think it's the run game, honestly. Like last year, Josh Hoover was asked to do so much, and he did for the most part. Threw for almost 4,000 yards, was really good. I think he's the most underrated quarterback in the country. I mean, there's a reason Tennessee kicked those tires and tried to get him out of Fort Worth. But in some big games, like specifically the SMU game, when they lost that game against Houston at home when they shouldn't have, like they just weren't able to run the ball when they needed to. Like I think even if you're a passing team, even if you're going to hang your hat with the passing game, there comes points in games where you should be able to point to the defense, say we're running the football and still be able to do it. And they just couldn't. And I do think that they're going to have to get better that way. They feel like the offensive line is a lot more physical going into this season. They got some portal guys like Kavoyan Barnes from UTSA to help the backfield, but they're betting on continuity, right? Offensive coordinator going into year three, defensive coordinator going into year two. They used the portal, but mostly for band-aids. They didn't go get a bunch of splashy kind of come in mercenary type players in the way that Texas Tech did. And I think that they see kind of a market absence in a way, right? Like if everybody's going transfer portal, let's really lean into high school and development. They signed the best class in the Big 12 out of high school. So they're kind of zigging where everybody else is zagging, and we'll see kind of what the bet plays off. And I think that's the most fascinating part of modern college football, is seeing how the roster building goes, seeing the different avenues and the way that they can do it. And we'll be able to use hindsight and see who did it the best and which way works the best.
Sonny Dykes, in terms of course, the national championship run in year one, really let down in year two, and then a semi bounce back last year. What kind of position is he in going into 25?
I think he's in a pretty comfortable position, but I mean, it's college football, right? If they go 4-8, he can get fired. If he goes 9-3, he's probably going to get an extension. And so that's just kind of how it goes. And with the transfer portal, everything's kind of a 1-year proposition, but it is year four for him. I do think year one gets kind of thrown away as a Gary Patterson's guys, and he kind of came in, changed the culture and unlocked them. I think he underestimated the roster loss after year one. I mean, they lost 8 guys to the NFL draft, and you know, TCU is not Alabama. It's not Ohio State. Like they're not able to reload in that kind of way. They took some chances on some portal guys that had, you know, high recruiting profiles, but maybe not productive. And I think they learned their lesson from that. And now they're going after players who maybe weren't 5 stars, maybe didn't play at Georgia, but they're just really good college football players, a Joseph Manjack, a Jordan Dwyer. And so I think TCU is in a good spot. I think Sonny's in a good spot. But again, the expectations in Texas at all of these schools is to go win. And if you don't do that, you're going to catch some heat, and there's going to be some talking going on behind the scenes. Well, especially if Tech does really well.
Yeah, oh, right? That's a good point.
Because like college football is measured by – your success is measured by how good the rivals are. And if SMU is going to a college football playoff, Texas Tech all of a sudden is really good. Let's say Baylor is a Big 12 contender. I think the fan base looks around and goes like, well, why are we getting passed up by these programs?
That's a great point. Now, speaking of Baylor, Dave Aranda was on a hot seat last October. He wins 6 in a row to end the season. And now, just like TCU, like you can make the case probably for half of the Big 12 teams, is what I've said, to potentially get to and maybe win a Big 12 championship. Baylor's right in that list as well. So Dave Aranda seems to have adapted slower to this NIL world, but he seems to finally be there. What's the word out of Waco in terms of how this program has developed and changed going into 2025?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think something that Aranda is pretty open about, like he was late to the transfer portal. He wanted to do it the old school way, bring in guys, have them sweat equity, 4 years there, love the university. And then he leaned into it. He didn't like NIL, right? And then a year later, his assistant coaches are wearing shirts to say, we pay players at practice, right? So he's starting to lean more into that. Like Baylor wants Dave Aranda to be successful. He's the perfect coach for a place like Baylor. He fits in personality-wise, culture-wise, all that kind of stuff. But again, you got to win. And, you know, TCU making a national championship game. Now Texas Tech's all in. I just mentioned SMU as well. So he's got to go win. And I don't think people realize how close he was to getting fired. Like last year, They were 2-4 going into that Texas Tech game. Had they lost that game, I don't think Dave Aranda was going to be the coach at Baylor for much longer. Like, they were already kicking the tires and asking around for different coaches and what you thought about this guy and if this guy was open. So they were starting to do their due diligence. Then they blow out Texas Tech and then just don't lose again in the regular season. And now he's has a team that I think is a real Big 12 title contender. I mean, you bring back the quarterback, you bring back the wide receiver, four of the five starting offensive linemen. I think the defense is going to take a step further. And it just shows the volatility of college football. It's like we were talking about with Sonny Dykes the other day, or the second ago. Your fortunes change in a snap of the finger. And Baylor and Dave Aranda has been the perfect illustration of the Jekyll and Hyde-ness of college football these days.
Willie Fritz at Houston, they got better as the year went along too. Are you buying, selling, or holding Willie Fritz stock in Houston?
Well, we call Willie Fritz Novocaine, right? It's going to work. It's just a matter of when it's going to work. And everywhere he's gone, he's eventually got it turned around. I was shocked that their team total is the same as TCU's. It's 6.5. But if you look at that roster and you look at the schedule, like, it wouldn't surprise me if Houston's kind of the Big 12 surprise of this year. 9 new starters on the offensive side of the ball with a new offensive coordinator. It really comes down to your opinion of Connor Wegman. Like, if he can stay healthy and be the guy that he was, like, in that Missouri game at A&M or his freshman year when he beat LSU, like, if he can reach that ceiling, I think Houston's got a chance to be a really surprise team and win 7 or 8 games. Maybe not compete for a Big 12 championship game yet. But as we've seen the last few years, like, if we were having this conversation last year, we wouldn't have thought Arizona State right now would be a contender, or the year before Oklahoma State would have been a contender, or the year before TCU was going to national championship game, or the year before Baylor was going to win the conference. And so why not Houston? And I think with the 30-man transfer portal class that they've gotten, the 2 new coordinators, just Willie Fritz being a hell of a program builder, I wouldn't count them out.
Yeah, he feels to me like what Lance Leipold was to Kansas. So maybe not to that level, but certainly a guy that builds programs and more or less wins everywhere that he goes. So the Big 12 SEC thing in Texas in particular, is it a thing around the state, or is it more of like a social media, I don't want to say fabrication, but something that doesn't play out as much in the real world as it may on social media or in media outlets in general?
I do think social media amplifies it, and it's the off season and we all want something to talk about, right? Like, college football is all our favorite drug and you need a hit of that. And in June, and like, those become power rankings and college football playoff projections and how we should change this and how we should change that. I think if we're talking about just inside the program, most of the coaches just want to know the rules of engagement. Right, like, just give us some rules, give us some parameters, and let us have 10 or 15 years to work within them. It's the constant change, and it's the constant, like, well, this didn't go our way this one year, so now we have to change the whole thing and make it all different. And so I do think it's a little overplayed on social media, but everything is, right? Like, politics, sports, any conversation's a little bit exaggerated in today's world online. But I do think that they see the future, and they are worried more about that than they are right now. Like, they're more worried about the split off than they are who gets the amount of spots in the playoff and if they're guaranteed or not. It's really more of, what does this thing look like in 2030? What does this thing look like in 2031? And am I at a place where I can still be successful and win at the highest level in 5 or 6 years? And those are questions that they don't even know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, I got to ask you about, a post that you shared on social media. Speaking of that, you wrote here, the SEC hubris is so wild to me. Texas A&M walked in and won 11 games. Mizzou won 10-plus in year 2 and 3. Texas waltzed in and went to a championship game. A bad OU team beat Bama in year 1. Sure, it's the deepest league, but let's come back to reality here. No one's denying that. Obviously, I think every reasonable fan would agree with you on that. But the Big 12 teams did prove that they could hang with the SEC teams in large part when they went to the SEC. Now, those are great programs, but still, what does that say about, first off, the Big 12 the last 10 to 15 years, and also the SEC and the narrative that has really engulfed the SEC, I would say in large part courtesy of some of their media partners, over the last 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, I think it's mostly propaganda, right? I think 2 things can be true at once. And I know in today's society, we were just talking about social media, like, that kind of gets lost. But like, the SEC can be the best conference and also not on its own planet. And they try to position themselves as if, you know, there's college football, there's the SEC, and then there's the NFL. And they're like the gap bridge to that. And I just don't think it's true. Maybe it was true 10 years ago, but the rules of engagement have changed. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the SEC hasn't won a national championship since everybody else can start paying their players. And if you allow these other teams a seat at the table, I think that's what they're worried about. Like, I think that's why the Big Ten and the SEC want to guarantee their spots, is they don't want to allow the upward mobility of kind of the new money, right? Like, they're trying to lock it in the way they, like, to look at the landscape and let's lock it in the way that it is now. Let's not allow an SMU to become a blue blood. Let's not allow a Texas Tech to rise up. Let's not allow the Big 12 the ability to start getting three or four or five teams in 5 years if they figure out a way to keep all the talent in those areas. And so I see it as a ploy from the SEC, and it's their job. And that's the other part too, is like, college football is to blame for this because they've allowed it to where the SEC commissioner, or the Big Ten commissioner, being good at their job is bad for everybody else. And it's just because there's not central leadership. There's not a governing body that's looking out for everybody. And so, of course, everybody's looking out for themselves. And I just think it's a net negative. Like, what has happened in the last 5 to 10 years that all of us fans like? Right? None of the changes have been positive for us. Like, we don't enjoy this any more than we did a decade ago. We just love college football enough to where they're not going to ruin it for us. But eventually, there's going to be an end to that. Eventually, people are going to get sick of that. And if Iowa State is left out, if Texas Tech is left out, if Baylor is left out, like, why would we keep watching, right? Why would we care about that kind of stuff? And I think that's, to me, the major worry, and to me, the biggest problem of the auto bid 4-4-2-2 proposition.
Last thing, Mike, what do you do to get through the off season that you mentioned is slow? We're all looking for that hit of college football, that drug. What do you do to pass the time and count it down to late August, early September?
Well, for me, the off season doesn't begin until like the end of this week. I've written 40,000 words for this magazine through April and May. And so, I haven't experienced that yet. And now the season's so dang long, and ending on January 21st. And then in March, you're starting spring ball again. And so I will probably say hello to my wife, probably help raise our baby, you know, do all those things, like do all the honeydews, get all those out of the way. Because in July, media days start and you just start back up, right? So really June is about the only quiet time that you get. But I'd imagine something huge happens behind the scenes, the court case, the revenue share. Like, college football has done a good job of staying, of becoming kind of a 12-month cycle sport the way that the NFL does, which is good for me because that's why I don't have to cover baseball or basketball or anything else. But it does put a strain on your loved ones. And they're like, isn't football season over? And you're like, honey, football season is never over.
I think you got it all lined up perfectly, my man. He is Mike Craven, and he does an outstanding job. Senior writer at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. They are going to print this week. So if people want to grab that mag, what's the best way to do it, Mike?
Really, it's to subscribe. You know, brick and mortar stuff is getting less and less, right? Like, you don't go to Barnes and Nobles as much. So texasfootball.com/subscribe. You can get the magazine early. You probably get it before even I do. I live in Austin. Our office is in Dallas. A lot of times the subscribers get it before me. And you'll start seeing it in the newsstands and everywhere else kind of July 4th-ish.
That's great, man. Well, hey, we appreciate you hopping on the show, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Appreciate you.
And we would love for you to subscribe right now on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, and leave us that 5-star rating and review. And of course, we always appreciate our radio affiliates joining us here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.